glad that we serve a God that's bigger than us, and He is able to hear our voices when we pray audibly. He can also hear our groanings, and He knows our minds and hearts. And so sometimes you just got to be still. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 28. Exodus 28 tonight. Last Wednesday night, we started looking at a topic entitled Aaron, the brother of Moses. And we said that it would take 2 or 3 weeks possibly to complete this study on this topic. And so it's actually a series. I like teaching on characters of the Bible, real people of the Bible. It just shows us their ups, their downs, their ins, their outs. And we can glean so much from the people of the Bible. I think sometimes we look at Abraham and Isaac and Aaron and the rest of them and think, man, I could never, you know, be used like those men. Think about Esther, think about Naomi, think about Ruth and the rest of them. You know, we could never be like that. But really, you know, God can use anybody. And the Lord uses people, you know, from the very least in social stature to the very greatest. God uses everybody. And it's just helpful to look into the lives of men and women of the Bible. And so we started looking at this character study, Aaron, the brother of Moses. And last week, we got into the call of Aaron. We got into his call. And we mentioned last week that the call of Aaron, the brother of Moses, was a twofold call. Number one, God called Aaron, the brother of Moses, to be his partner. And last week, we looked at the fact that Aaron, the partner of Moses, was the Bible's first recorded associate pastor. And if you want to mark your Bible there and go back and read later, or maybe if you still have from last week, but that's recorded in Exodus chapter 4, verse number 14 through 16. The partner of Moses, how that the Lord used him to be Moses' assistant, his associate. And part of that call as his associate, his assistant, was to be his spokesman. We know that Moses, I guess I could say, had stage fright. You know, Moses, he had slow of tongue and speech. And so we looked at and we were reminded of that God called Aaron to be his spokesman. In other words, God would give the message to Moses. Moses would give it to Aaron. And Aaron will give it to God's people. And of course, there were times where the Lord spoke just to Aaron. There were times where the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. But Moses was the man that received the message, and he gave it to Aaron. And Aaron was the spokesman. This was under that umbrella of being his partner, his associate, the associate pastor. But then last week we looked at the fact that not only was he his spokesman, but Aaron was his supporter in ministry. And in Exodus 17, verse 9 through 12 last week, we looked at how that Moses, when he held up the rod of God in one hand, Israel prevailed. But the Bible says that both hands were heavy. And that implies that one hand done all it could do, and then Moses used everything else that he had, and Israel prevailed, but then Moses had nothing left. And so his hands were down, and then the Amalekites prevailed. Well, Aaron, his assistant, his supporter, his associate, came in and supported him on one arm, and a man named Hur, supported on the other arm and held up the hands of Moses, the arms of Moses, and Israel prevailed. We see that Aaron was his supporter, and we all need supporters in life. Not just in the church scene, but at home we need to be supported. Everybody needs a supporter. Everybody will eventually get to a place in life where they need help. You know, that's just how it is because we haven't received our glorified bodies. We don't have endless energy. We're subject for failure. We're subject to fatigue. And we see that in the life of Aaron. He was Moses' supporter. I want to be clear on something. I went home last Wednesday night, and I was kind of iffy on something I said, and so I just want to go back and bring clarity on it. I said last Wednesday night, you must have the gift of helps to be an assistant pastor or a help to some leader. I want to be clear on that. What I meant to say was the word for assistant and the word for helps, which is found in 1 Corinthians 12:28. What I meant to say was those two words carry the same meaning, which means to take hold of or to support. You don't have to have the gift of helps to be somebody's assistant. You don't have to have the gift of helps to help anybody. What I meant to say was the word helps and assistant carries the same idea, and it means to support. I know that, you know, back being Brother Snyder's associate, even at Pleasant Hill, I was an associate. I did the best I could do, but I also felt like that wasn't my ultimate calling. I don't really feel like I have the gift of helps. I have the gift to preach and the gift to teach and the gift to, I feel like, in other words, that I have that kind of calling to be there for God's people and intercede. But you do not have to have that gift. Just want to make that clear that I said last week that you have to have the gift of helps to be an assistant or helper. It just helps if you do have that gift. But it's not necessary. And so we mentioned those things last week. The first fold, the first phase of his calling had to do with being an associate. He was Moses' partner in the ministry. He was his spokesman. He was his supporter. But the second part of Aaron's calling is not only the partner of Moses, but he was the priest of Israel. The priest of Israel. And so last Wednesday we talked about Aaron, the associate pastor. This week I want to talk about Aaron, the high priest. And this is the second phase or the second part of his calling as we study the character of Aaron. Exodus 28, verse number 1, I want you to notice. The Bible says, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons." This verse here gives us Aaron's priestly call, his initial priestly call. Again, the Lord is speaking to Moses, and he is telling Moses that Aaron will be the first high priest, and his sons will also assist. Now, Aaron was the first high priest of Israel, from all that I can glean within the pages of God's Word. You can go to Hebrews and read a great deal about Aaron and his priesthood. But I want to say this about Aaron being the first high priest. Before Exodus 28, verse number 1, before Aaron was called to be the first high priest, every leader of every house, every man, every husband, every father, every master was the priest of that family. In other words, the practice of priesthood during the patriarchal time frame, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of those, up until this particular time in Scripture, to Moses' day, in the initiation of Aaron's priesthood, Aaron being the first priest, those individuals were the priests of their families. This is the institution, I believe, in the priesthood, as having an official high priest, as having someone to go into the tabernacle and bear the sins of Israel upon his breastplate and carry them before God. And so what I want to say is, Aaron is the first high priest, and it says it in this verse, his calling into priesthood. And again, before this, every leader, every master, every husband, every father was the family priest. Now, I want you to just take a moment and turn to the book of Job, chapter number 1. I want you to see something, because we see this in Job, chapter number 1. Notice in Job chapter number 1, and let me say this, it's in verse number 5. Most people believe that it was Moses who wrote the book of Job, and that the book of Job is actually the oldest written book in the Bible. And many believe, including myself, that Job came before Moses, came before Aaron. And we see here Job is his own family high priest. In verse number 5 of the book of Job, chapter 1, the Bible says, "And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all," his family, his sons, his daughters. "For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually." There we have it. The leader of the home, Job, being the high priest, being the priest of his own family. Again, this is before the Aaronic priesthood. This is when the leader of the home, the husband of the home, the man of the home, he was to stand in the gap for his children. He was to pray for them and put them before God. And excuse me. And like I said in prayer request, and when we're first mentioning and getting through our prayer request tonight, that is so heavy on my heart right now, how that we need to pray for our kids, we need to be there for our kids, but not only our kids, but we need to fight for our families, we need to protect our families, we need to provide for our families, give ourselves to our families, lead our families. But guess what, men? It starts with the men. It starts with the men in the house. It was Abraham who was the priest of his family. And it was Isaac, and it was all the rest of them. Job, and now in Exodus 28, verse 1, the priesthood has now started with Aaron. But before then, every man was the priest of his family. Ephesians 5:23 talks about the husband is the head of the wife, or the head of the home. And I want to add to that. The husband is the head of the home. The wife is the heart of the home, and the children are the hope of the home. And we as men are to guide and direct. Listen, I'm talking about losing sleep if we have to, staying up at night in our prayer closet, praying for our kids. Our wife is having a hard time. Men, let us not be bitter against our wives, because we know what will happen if we're bitter against our wives. The Bible says God won't hear our prayers. So we got to maintain a good relationship with mama. You know, pray for our wives. You see that your wife, your children, and even in extended family members, those that are struggling, we are to steer our ship correctly. Be like Noah did. You know, he prepared that ship at God's command, and at the end of the day, his own family was in the ark. Somebody said one time that Noah was at a great loss. Nobody got saved. Guess what? His family got saved. His family was in that ark. And so we see that the priestly call here for Aaron began in verse number 1. At least it's recorded here of Exodus 28. And before this time period, the man, husband, leader of the home, he was the head of the home. He was the priest of the home. And we need to continue that in our day. One last comment. Again, a practice. This was a practice in the patriarchal times, but stopped with Moses. Now Aaron is the priest, and his children are following. His children are also being groomed to serve in that capacity. So number one, when it comes to the second part of Aaron's call, being the high priest, we see Aaron's priestly call in this verse tonight, Exodus 28 verse 1. But then I want you to notice Aaron's age when he received his priestly call. You will not find in this verse his age. But we know when we read Scripture, we've got to compare Scripture with Scripture. We have to read Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, to the best of our ability, asking God to help us read it in harmony. And when we do that, we find out that in Numbers chapter number 4, in verse number 23, I want you to notice something. The age for priests. In Numbers chapter number 4, you can listen, follow along, whatever you want to do. In Numbers chapter number 4 and verse number 23, the Bible says from 30 years old and upward until 50 years old shalt thou number them. All that enter into perform the service to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. He repeats it in verse number 30. From 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, shalt thou number them, every one that entereth into the service to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. And so we see here that if that's true, and the age for, at least mentioned in Numbers, is 30 to 50, we have a margin of priestly service, 30 to 50 at least. And so when we are thinking about Aaron and his priestly call, and we're looking at Aaron and his age, most likely Aaron was 30 years old when this call came upon him in life. Again, the Bible speaks of, in Exodus 28, verse number 1, Aaron's sons. It says that he may minister, about middle ways through that verse, it says, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, then Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. So Aaron most likely was 30, and then he had his children that he was leading and showing them this priestly duties and priestly office as he went along the way. Now, I mentioned the verse in Numbers 4, verse number 23, Numbers 4, and verse number 30. Talks about from the age 30 to the age of 50. He also must be a Levite from the tribe of Levi. There's another example. We won't turn there, but in Ezekiel chapter number 1, it seems also that Ezekiel, in the 30th year, while in Babylon, he received the call to be a priest. And so the number 30 seems to be the age that Aaron became priest. I think about Jesus. His public ministry was at the age of 30. He is the ultimate great and high priest of our souls. And so he served for 3.5 years in that capacity. And he died upon the cross, was buried, rose again, and ascended back to the Father at the right hand of the Father as we speak, making intercession as our high priest. This is a wonderful thing. And this, those of you who have studied this, I mean, listen, even in sermon message preparation, you have got to look at detail upon detail because it is all so good and it all goes so well together. And so we actually may be here for a while on Wednesday nights, and that's okay with me. And so we see this here, and it was Moses at 30 and possibly Ezekiel at 30. Jesus was at 30. And can I give a personal testimony right quick? This is just my testimony, not as I told it Sunday night. But I just think it's something when it comes to Numbers and the Bible. If the priestly office for an individual started at 30, again, Ezekiel, Aaron, Jesus, I received my first call to pastor at 30 years old. I'm just saying that's my testimony. I'm not saying that, listen, everybody gets their callings in life different. Now, I started preaching. I surrendered to that call in preaching when I was 22 years old. Floyd Rowe Baptist Church, couldn't take it anymore. Brother Berman was preaching on selling out, getting out of your comfort zone and all those things. And I remember Christy and I, newly married, grabbed her hand. We went down to the altar. I said, Brother Berman, I don't know if I can do this or not. How am I supposed to work a job and find time to study and preach? And he, of course, he was giving me all these examples at the altar. He said, well, this one did it, that one did it, that one did it, that one did it. And he said, if they can do it, you can do it. He said, so what's it going to be? I said, well, sink or swim. I'm jumping in. I said, I don't know everything about this holy fervor I feel, this passion on the inside. I said, Brother Berman, I just feel like that I want to rescue people. I want to not only rescue the lost, but I want to rescue God's people. I got a word to give. You know, there's something in here that I want to cast out to help somebody. So that was at 22 years old. And I'm not glorifying me. I'm just telling part of my testimony. The other side, 22 years old. But at the age of 30, I was working at Georgia Tech, 29 into 30, just turned 30, at Georgia Tech. And I remember I was on the third floor. And I was walking to the ballroom. We were stacking chairs, getting ready for an event. And my phone rang. And it was a man by the name of Gary Garman. He said, real deep voice, he said, "Bro, Justin." I said, "Yeah." I almost want to say, "Yeah." He said, "I understand." He said, "You don't know me." He said, "But I understand that you want to pastor a church." I said, "If God leads in that direction, I do." He said, "Well, it's like this. We're a small church in a bad part of the neighborhood." He said, "We've gone through pastors about one every two or three years for the past 50, 60 years. He said, "Will you be willing to come preach for us and let us talk to you about being our pastor?" I ignited with excitement. Number one, I was leaving Georgia Tech. Didn't like to drive and all that. But number two, it felt like it was a connection. It felt like this is it. This is it. My call. That was the age of 30. Of course, I went. And there's all kinds of stories. I don't want to get bogged down with that. But we went. We got the position. We served there for right at 3 years. And after Mom passed away and there was a dwindling in church attendance, we felt like the Lord was through with us there. But the age 30, that's my testimony. And I don't know, in Scripture, it just seems like the age 30 for the priesthood, Old Testament, Jesus and his ministry, New Testament, that was just my testimony about the age 30. But nonetheless, Aaron's age when he received his priestly call, 30 years old, Aaron's priestly call, first recorded here, Exodus 28, verse 1. Then I want to move on. I want us to look at Aaron's rod that budded, which is a token of his priesthood. Look at number 17 for a moment. Number 17. I ran out of paper today. Numbers chapter number 17, and we're going to read these verses because we need the context here. Talking about Aaron and his second calling to be a priest. We found out the first location of it mentioned. We found out his age, and now Aaron's rod that budded. Moses wasn't the only one who had a rod. Aaron had a rod. Look at verse number 1 of number 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods, which thou every write thou every man's name upon his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name, upon the rod of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of their congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you." And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece for each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto the children of Israel, and they looked, and took every man his rod, And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, the Ark of the Covenant, to be kept for a token against the rebels. And thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. Verse 11, and Moses did so, as the Lord commanded him, so he did. What I want us to see here is a couple things. Number one, we see the 12 tribes of Israel. Every man received a rod, and these rods were placed there at the tabernacle, or the Ark of the Covenant there in the tabernacle, and whoever's rod was budded in the morning time, that was a chosen person. And to be the priest of Israel. There was to be no ifs, ands, buts about it. That was the man, and it was made evident in verse number 10. And so we see that this miraculous event took place, verse number 8. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. That is a miracle. A dead, lifeless rod bloomed buds and blossoms. Almonds on top of those. And in verse number 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels. Thou shalt quite take away their murmuring from me, that they die not. And so by the miraculous miracle and the preservation of it, it testified of God's call on his life as priest. There was to be no murmurings, no complainings about the words that were to come from Aaron or his priestly duties. Because, does anybody know what was inside of the Ark of the Covenant? Three things. Aaron's rod that budded. The Ten Commandments and the manna was there. The manna is a picture of God's provision. Of course, God's commands, a testament. And some believe that the budded rod gives a beautiful picture of the resurrection of Jesus, which is the great high priest of our souls. But here's the thing. The rod that stayed in this Ark of the Covenant within the tabernacle kept its buds. I mean, it was assurance. Listen, there was no arguing over his call and his life. It was a dead piece of wood, but yet there was buds and blooms coming from it. And so this was an evident token of his priestly call. And if anybody ever had a problem, lift open that covenant and look in there. It's still budded and it's still blooming. Some say that this is a beautiful picture as we look for New Testament reflection from the Old Testament. This could be a wonderful picture of the resurrection of Jesus being our great high priest of our souls. This rod of Aaron's, it was dead, it was dry, it was totally void of any sap that could produce life. Same thing from Jesus, he was dead, but he rose again. And this portrayed a picture of that. And then the almonds on the blossoms and the blooms, some say that this could speak of the souls that the Lord will take to glory by them trusting in his salvation. I don't know about you, but there's a lot there. And as we look at this, Aaron's rod that budded, the most important thing about this, I believe, is that it testified of his call. There was fruit there. And God is the ultimate inspector of fruit. But I'll say this, you should be able to tell fruit in a new convert, someone who is saved that knows Jesus, there will be fruit to bear. I'm looking at an apple tree, that's apples. You look at a Christian, somebody says, I'm a Christian. Well, they're supposed to be fruit that testifies they're a Christian. Love, joy, peace, patience. Doesn't say you have to master it. It just says that it will be there. And also when it comes to the gifts and callings of God, it was Paul that told young Timothy to make full proof of his ministry. Paul was saying, Timothy, if you're really called, there's going to be some fruit there. There is going to be something there that's happening. And so we see that many times that there are people who, and listen, this is just Bible truth. Sometimes people jump the gun in ministry. Sometimes people, I was drafted into this thing. Preachers and pastors and teachers and we were called by God into this thing. I'm naturally shy. I don't want to speak in front of anybody. And it has taken every bit of 15 years since I was 22 years old to get to right here tonight to what you're hearing. It may not sound like much. It may not be eloquent. But I'll tell you, I've been trying for 15 years to get good at it. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that happens. And some people, they want to be on the limelight, and they want to be able to be the main guy and all of those things. Well, that's not right. You know, the Bible in the Old Testament, I can't mark the verse specifically, but it says that in due time it will tell if God was of it or not. I mean, we got to give things time, but saying that in time, those who were called for a specific job or purpose, preaching, teaching, being a deacon, some churches have trustees, working in the sound room, working in the nursery. There's going to have to be some kind of desire to want to do that. And when there's desire there, there'll be fruit there. And so we see that Aaron had a rod and it budded, testified of his priesthood. It's in the Ark of the Covenant. And if you want to go a step further, in Revelation chapter number 11, I can't recall this exact verse, Brother Jack, but the Bible says that Ark of the Covenant is in heaven with those three things still in it. Testifies of God's provision, the manna, the commandments, God's holiness, his law. And then, of course, Aaron's rod that budded, which speaks of Aaron being called, but also the resurrection of Jesus. How he can bring life from nothing. Aaron's rod that budded, a token of his priesthood. Now, I want to mention one more thing and then got through that faster than I thought. I even took my time. We'll just give it to you in doses on Wednesday night. How about that? Lastly, not only Aaron's rod that budded, a token of his priesthood, but Aaron's addition to the priesthood. And what I mean by that is Aaron first surrendered to the call to be an associate. He was an assistant. He was faithful in being Moses' spokesman. He was faithful in lifting up Moses' arms. Wasn't in the limelight. He was just by Moses' side as God called him to be. Every time he was called on to speak, Aaron spoke. But he waited for the words from the pastor Moses. And I'm of the persuasion, and when we compare Scripture with Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, because Aaron was faithful in the other things, the smaller things, God promoted him to the bigger things. And it's true tonight, if we're faithful in the small things, I mean, nobody looking, but we're faithful. Nobody's coming, but we're faithful. Giving it 100%, 110% the best we can, God in due time will open up new doors and opportunities for us. We see Aaron started out as an assistant or a helper to Moses, but then he became Israel's high priest. No doubt it was because of his faithfulness that God promoted him. But you know, when it comes to faithfulness, we all have a common command. And I want us to end here tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. You probably already know it before I get there. There's a common ground, no matter where you're serving, where you're serving at, ministry, family, everything that God has entrusted you with and entrusted me with, there's a common denominator, and it's one word, faithfulness. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 1, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And here it is. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's it, faithfulness. Whatever area, whatever part of life, God has given you a family, be the best family person you can be. Whatever your position is in the family. A position in the church, be the very best and most faithful there. You know, we don't recruit people to be faithful. We recruit people and we open up more opportunities, if the Lord moves, to people who are faithful. Somebody said one time, well, you know, there's a position in a particular church. You know, I feel like if I can just get them in that position, they'll be faithful to church. You have a mess on your hand. You know, you have people that are faithful, and then you allow them to be in those positions. But there's a word in verse number 1 I want you to notice, and we'll be through in just a moment. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Of course, we know Paul's writing here to the Corinthians. There's another word for ministers here, and it's the words under-rower, I believe it is. Or a compound word, being an under-rower. I went and looked that up, and I found some pictures of ships that had different levels. And on some ships back then, there was a low level. You didn't even know anybody was under there. And there were slaves under there. And they had a line of them on this side and a line on that side. And all they did was row. That's all they did. They rowed. Turbulent winds, they rowed. Rough waters, they rowed and rowed. Both sides rowing and rowing. An under rower. Wasn't seen, but steady rowing. And I think it's funny how Paul uses this terminology, because Paul is saying, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ, the under rower. He said, you know, and many times in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Paul is trying to vindicate his apostleship because he was small and old and nobody thought he was God's man. But he said, guess who's still rowing in ministry? I fought the winds. I stood up against the enemies of God. I'm a minister, and because of my perseverance and because of the message that I give and because I'm steady-headed and I count not my life. In other words, I could lose my life. And in one part of Corinthians, he talks about being in the deep often and many pearls. He says that he's a true minister of Christ. He's an under-rower. A lot of times as ministers, those who work in the church aren't seen that much. I think about nursery workers. I think about, you know, those behind closed doors that's not out here on Sunday mornings, but that's been faithful, like those slaves in that boat. They're not seen, but they're rowing. They're faithful, being faithful to their job and faithful to their position. Paul says that that's what we are. We are under rowers. Doesn't matter if anybody's looking, keep on rowing. Doesn't matter if the winds get heavy, we got to keep on rowing. We got to keep on going. Get a little tongue lashing, row a little faster. Go to some calmer waters. Row a little faster. Hey, maybe sometimes you may need to back up a little bit and turn and row the other way, you know? Just whatever the case is, you're not seen, keep on rowing for God's glory. Turbulent winds, keep on rowing against it. Eventually the sun will shine and the winds will settle down. And there'll be no more turbulence until the next time. So he says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ, under rowers, the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I want to say tonight that Aaron, he was that man. He was a faithful man as Moses' assistant. He was his spokesman, spoke when he was told. He was his supporter. He watched for times of fatigue. He held up the man of God, and now he is the high priest of Israel. And so that's the lesson tonight, Aaron, the high priest. Now, next Wednesday night, a few Wednesday nights ago, I believe it was, we talked about the Old Testament priest comparable to the New Testament priest. We are priests, kings and priests unto our God. I may go back over that and take our time next Wednesday, because under his priestly calling, there's his duties. Talks about keeping the fire going and the lights burning. And then after that, I believe, comes his garments, and those are symbolic as well. And then we'll get into the next point on another Wednesday night, his consecration, his abstinence, his devotion to God. And then, of course, at the very, very end of the study, there we see Aaron in his basically backslidden state. If you remember, he was at the foot of that hill, and the golden calves were worshipped. Moses was on top. So, again, that's the purpose of this study, is to just learn the Old Testament economy, refresh ourselves, glean from it, and to know that the people in the Bible, they were just as human as we are, and yet God still used them. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness, your love. Thank you, Lord, for the Wednesday night crowd. Thank you for this study, Lord. I feel like I'm plowing on the right path. Lord, let us stay here a while. And I just feel so enriched this past couple weeks, Lord. Let us never get to a place where it's routine. But, Lord, we know at times those times will come. But help us always, though, be looking for the next word from you, that we may be fed, that we may be encouraged and strengthened and learn a little more about your word. And so, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Be with Brother Don tomorrow in his outpatient surgical procedure. Pray that you'd bring him to health with that knee speedily. Be with his family, Miss Carla, and all those that were mentioned tonight on the prayer list. We lift them up to you. Meet with us mightily on Sunday. I pray for one soul to get saved this Sunday. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.